I'll always love you. Welcome everyone to another XNU show. We've got another good show going on for you today. This week's dedication is for Heather Hartman to her wife Susan. The song is Drive by Melissa Ferrick. That's the song snippet you hear on the beginning of this episode. Check it out on YouTube. I'll have her name and the name of the song on my show notes so you can go ahead and listen to the whole thing. It's quite, interesting. That's a good word. The book review this week is from Heather as well. It is called The Growing. I'll have the link to her website on my show notes so you can go ahead and read it. It's by Susan Beck, another one of her books, and it's going to be a long one, so you know, if you've got plenty of time, sit back and read it, because it's about 600 pages long. So, but this is what the editorial review or the synopsis says. It's 2012. Do you know where your androids are? In the near future, the world will grow complacent and brilliant, if misguided. Mind will seek to capitalize on the complacency, providing the common man and royalty alike with just the convenience he needs to aim him in his day-to-day labors. But what if suddenly those companions were to turn on their masters, sowing the seeds of destruction and death across the land? What if man's helper became his killer, and no one knew why or how to stop it? The Growing is a story of such a post-apocalyptic vision, and of the brave men and women who give everything they have to save the world from its eventual destruction. It is also the story of two lonely hearts, bitter enemies at first, who learn to trust and to love again in a world falling down all around them. Coda Rivers is a Lakota veterinarian and shaman whose roots run deep in her culture and in the soil of her native Black Hills. Kirsten King, Ph.D., is a brilliant cyber scientist and the sole surviving member of President Hillary Clinton's cabinet, each drawn by her own mission to destroy the androids. They meet in fire and blood at the North Dakota facility, where the insurgent machines are manufactured. The Growing has all the bells and whistles of the classic epic: sweeping battles, a heroic love story, Amazon warriors, a blind bard, the gods of the land, and a monster or two. The challenges present are met by two heroes and their companions. These include Dakota's remarkable father and her warrior brother, Tacoma, Maggie Allen, United States Air Force colonel and crack pilot, an extraordinary German shepherd named Asimov, and the spirits of land in their various forms. So, that's what the Amazon.com shows on The Growing by Susan and Beck. Check it out. And see what you think. Also, as we are all now counting down to the days till the fat man drops his fat little butt down our chimneys and leaves us more things that we really don't need. I personally don't need any more wrapping paper strewn all over my yard, but, you know, hey, some of us have to bear with it. I'll be glad to see the tail end of the season, though, and bring in the new year. I mean, it's one thing to have Christmas and holidays, and it's a little bit bittersweet this year because, you know, my mother-in-law is not going to be there, and my partner's still grieving that. But, I just don't like the idea that it's so commercialized now. I mean, I really enjoy Christmas, don't get me wrong. But for the real reason, you know, the birth of Jesus and what he means to us, not the overly commercialized version that we have today. And it starts out in October and it ends at the end of December. I mean, what's up with that? You don't need Christmas for 3 months for one day. I mean, it's just all about money. You know, I try to attend Midnight Mass and, you know, being brought up strictly Catholic by my mother and stuff, and they like to attend Midnight Mass and do all those things, and I give to those less fortunate than me, and praise and thank God that, you know, I've survived another year and gone through all the things that we've gone through. And I challenge everyone out there to try this year. Just go out and do something different and see what a difference it makes in your life. You know, if you can't attend Midnight Mass, if there's not one there, or if you're not overtly, you know, religious, But try and do something good for someone that you don't know, you know, and see what it makes, what a difference it makes for that person, but also for yourself, that you've done something and you really didn't look for something in return for it. Now, mind you, don't get me wrong, I enjoy receiving and giving presents, but there's more to it than that. You know, it's just the idea of just doing something. It's really nice. Anyway, I was asked by a listener to get an Amazon wish list. And I thought, you know, she would tell me, look, get an Amazon wish list put together so that we can show you the appreciation for the show, and we can buy you something without having to, you know, get your address and all your details. We could just flick you something and it'll go to you. And I didn't know what it meant, you know. I thought to myself, well, you know, we could start out with Gabrielle and work with Effany and work our way down the Amazons. And then she turned around. She goes, no, it's an Amazon wish list, as in like Amazon.com, not like which Amazon do you want. I'm like, darn it. But she corrected me and led me to the Amazon online. So I have posted a link on the blog for you to look at. And if you want to do anything with it, it's up to you. Thanks to Heather in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I appreciate the gesture, and it's up, it's out. If you want to go look at it, hey, you know, that's up to you. It is stifling hot over here. I am so sick and tired of just the heat and everything that's going on in here. It is vile. It's just, ugh. It's just, you wake up and ugh. It's, yeah, it's not. It's, oh, yeah, it's not good. It is not good at all. But we're struggling through it and trying to make life as bearable as possible. Let's see what else. I'm laughing because I'm sitting here and it's like I'm sticking to the back of my chair. It's just, no, this is not good. I've got the fan going, the windows open up and everything. It's just not a good feeling. It's just not happening. But anyway, we will continue on with the show. We're continuing on with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. I will be doing, trying to sort this storyline out very quickly, because I've gotten quite a few emails regarding doing my other storyline. So I'll leave you in suspense at the moment for that, and I'll get more back to you on that. In regards to the contest, I also wanted to update everyone up. I'm gonna go ahead with it. I'm getting all the details sorted for it and working on how to put a page up so that you can actually click on the show notes and go to that page and download all the questions and whatever it is, and then submit your answers to me. So stay tuned. More for watch this space. There'll be more information coming for that. So let's get on to the show, do a recap, and move right along. So here we go. So, as the morning rose on, our two girls, Xena greeted Solari, who was walking by. After explaining to Xena that Effany and Eponin were on their way, and that they wanted to talk to Xena about having a child, and who should carry it, Xena dismissed it and told her to have them talk to Gabrielle, and left to sort some things out. Gabrielle came upon Solari and had the same chat with her, but said she'd talk to them. Then Gabrielle told Solari the truth about how she and Xena came to have a child together, which really caught Solari off guard. Xena was out on Argo when she came upon a group of men from Athens headed towards Amphipolis. After a not-so-welcome greeting, Xena told them to head into town and Kanto would meet them there. There, Xena caught up with Gabrielle and told them who they were. Tax collectors. After a not-so-warm meeting, it was left to Xena and Gabrielle to try and figure out how to get town out of the tax assessment imposed on them. Xena and Gabrielle then set out towards Athens, leaving a very unhappy Dory behind, and they wound up spending the evening out on the road in a storm. So that's where we left our two little girls, and continue on with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Normally, she wouldn't have even considered it. The surge of emotion, though, had left her wrung out, and she squirmed around and curled up on her side, ignoring the squelching mud under her as she rested her head on the bard's lap, feeling strong fingers tangle themselves immediately in her hair, gently rubbing her scalp. She surrendered to the touch, exhaling as she felt the muscles under her cheek shift a bit. Her eyes drifted shut, and she curled one hand around Gabrielle's knee, running the edge of her thumb over the tiny scar there absently. Gabrielle kept up the gentle stroking until she could feel Xena's body start to really relax. She watched the warrior's breathing even out, and spent a few moments simply looking at her mud-spattered, grubby, sweaty, yet intrinsically gorgeous partner. Then she exhaled and wished the raspberry infusion would start working and untie her now-knotted guts, but latterly realizing it was her imminent cycling that had set her on edge all day and made her parting with Dory so full of angst. Poor Xena. The bar looked down in silent apology. Usually, she knew, sometimes before Gabrielle did, that her time was closed. But they'd been so busy this week, and with the excitement of the taxmen, it had slipped both of their minds. And, of course, it happened to happen while she was here, of all places. Gabrielle spared a wry glance for her surroundings. Maybe tomorrow would be better. Abruptly, thunder rolled, and the rain started coming down again in torrents. Gabrielle released a truly heartfelt sigh as a draft of cold rain hit her in the back of the neck. "Hey, Gab," Xena murmured. "Hmm?" The bard tucked a corner of her cloak over Xena's curled-up body. "Look at it this way. No way in Hades this trip could get any worse than this."
"Xena?"
The warrior turned her head and looked up. "Yeah?"
"Shh."
For once, Gabrielle was glad of being on horseback. She leaned over the front of the saddle, taking the weight off her back, and stifled a groan as a spasm worked its painful way down her gut. It was still raining. They'd found Argo and Aeolus sheltered nearby, and Xena had concluded it would be better if they pushed on to the nearest village rather than try to find another insufficient place to hole up in. Part of her certainly agreed with that, since she'd only just gotten the mud stains off of most of her body, utilizing clean rain that was drenching both of them. The other part of her, unfortunately, wanted nothing more than to curl up in a ball and remain still, even a second dose of raspberry leaves doing little to ease the cramps. She kept her complaints to herself, though, knowing Xena did actually sympathize with her. The warrior didn't have regular cycles. When she did, it was almost always bad, and had in fact been just the months prior when they timed it together. For someone who could stand pain like few others Gabrielle had ever known, Xena didn't take cycling well at all. She treated halfway between embarrassing and infuriating, and acted like a cornered weasel, all snappish and irritated. However, this time Gabrielle had discovered something that worked on her surly friend, and she'd made a note to see if she could get a hold of more of the sweet, rich fruit wine that had soothed the warrior's frazzled nerves, without being strong enough to get her even mildly tipsy.
"Ow!"
The bard winced, and bit the inside of her lip. Maybe it'd work on her, too. She tugged her cloak closer around her, and tried to ignore the senseless pounding of rain, which plastered her fair hair down and darkened Aeolus's pale coat to almost bay.
"How you doing?"
Xena's voice made her almost jump. She lifted her head to see the warrior now almost knee-to-knee with her. Gabrielle sighed.
"Bick!"
she commented, imitating her daughter.
"No good, Boo."
Xena's eyes twinkled gently in reaction.
"You look miserable," the warrior said. "Another hour or two and we should be up in Ethos, though. We can stay overnight there."
"It's only lunchtime,"
the bard protested. "The next town's a day and a half out. You want a hot bath and a dry bed, or not?" Xena asked in a reasonable tone. Another sigh.
"I'm trying to be responsible. We've got a job to do in Athens."
Xena stood in her stirrups and viewed the sodden countryside. Athens had stood for hundreds of years. "It'll last a couple of more days," she said. "Besides, we've got a month before they're expecting their blood money. Plenty of time to get there." She looked over at Gabrielle. "And you're making my back hurt just watching you, so we're stopping. Got me?" The bard waited for a spasm to ease, then let up on biting her lip to answer.
"Okay,"
she nodded.
"You know, that was one of the nicest things about being pregnant with Dory. No cycles."
Xena considered a statement.
"Yeah," she said. "Has to be some kind of trade-off, doesn't it?" Another nod.
"Yes. Makes me want to give that another go,"
Gabrielle chuckled wearily.
"Another hour, huh? Can we ride faster? Maybe that'll take my mind off of my guts."
She glanced over at Xena, surprised by the expression on her face.
"No? All right. Riding in this weather, when we can't see the road clearly, is a bad idea. Sorry. Forget about that. It's been a while."
They rode together in silence for a few moments.
"Would you?"
Xena finally asked quietly.
"Would I what?"
Gabrielle answered, a little confused.
"Want another child?"
"Sure,"
Gabrielle answered it easily.
I'd love one.
She watched Cena's expression with pleasure.
The only catch is, I only want yours. So if you can figure out how we did it the last time, and do it again, I'm all for it.
The rain plastered Xena's dark hair over her head. As she gazed forward between Argo's knees, the muscles moving repeatedly along her cheek and in her throat. Gabrielle smiled and gazed at Aeolus's neck, moving some of the drenched hair from side to side.
Knocked you for a loop, didn't I?
She listened to the fabric and leather shift as Xena fidgeted in Argo's saddle next to her.
Yeah,
the warrior finally admitted, clearing her throat as her voice broke a little on the word. I know you love Dory, but I didn't think... I guess I just didn't think. Gabrielle chuckled a little.
That's okay, honey. I didn't think I was much for maternity myself, to be honest. But you know what? I'm really starting to get into it. I like being Dory's mom.
She peeked at her partner.
And I know you do. You're so good at it.
Blue eyes met hers. Did that surprise you?
No,
the bard shook her head.
Not at all. I knew you would be. I was glad, because I knew one of us had to have the skill, and I knew you did, so if I totally fell down on the job, I'd still be okay.
How did you...
You took care of me.
Gabrielle correctly interpreted the question.
You taught me, and watched out for me, and made me the person I am. Of course I knew, Xena. I knew you could be this child's mother even if I totally tanked at it.
She reached over and curled a hand around her soulmate.
Even if it didn't seem that way to you at the start.
Xena looked. It was an odd cross between flattered and a little puzzled. Thanks. She finally looked over and smiled, returning the warm grip in her hand.
I'll...
A slow nod. Have a talk with Jessen when we get back, she said.
He might have an idea of how we did it.
Gabrielle glanced up as a renewed blast of thunder shook the air.
Great.
She gave Xena a wry look.
Now can we ride faster?
Ethos was a small village about the size Amphipolis had been before the war, in fact. Xena guided Argo's paces through the muddy streets of the mostly deserted streets, the few residents she did see hurrying along to get out of the downpour. They stopped in front of what was obviously the inn, a sign with a rooster outside waved in the gust of wind, slamming against the pole that supported it. Xena kicked her boots free of Argo's stirrups and swung her leg over the mare's neck, sliding down to let in a moderate-sized puddle. She ducked around the horse to grab over Aeolus's reins and extended a hand out to steady Gabrielle as she got down.
Easy.
Ugh.
Gabrielle hung onto the saddle and slowly stretched her aching back out. It was actually a bit later than they figured, as they had to find shelter a few times for the blast of lightning that lit up the sky, and it was near sundown. The bard was hoping, at best, a bed and a bowl of soup, and at worst, a bit of straw in the corner of the stable and her trail rations. She didn't really care, just as long as it was quiet, dry, and she could lay down. The cramps had gotten worse throughout the day, and now she progressed from being annoyed to truly being miserable. She let her head rest against Aeolus's side for a moment and sighed.
You better negotiate for the room, Tiger, and let me take those horses. The way I feel, I'll just get us both thrown out of here.
All right. Xena patted her back and shouldered her saddleback. Go on over to the stable. I'll get us squared away and then come and get you.
Right.
Gabrielle straightened, took Argo's reins, then started slogging through the mud towards the stable with the two horses trailing behind her. Xena watched them for a moment, then turned and made her way into the inn's door, pushing it open and slipping inside. The room was mostly full, townsfolk and tramblers crammed together at trestle tables, a couple of serving wenches threaded between them carrying bowls of something that smelled like soup and platters of roast meat. Xena let her eyes flick around the room quickly, not identifying anyone she knew, before she made her way down the small hallway to her somewhat uneven stairwell that up to a darkened second floor. At a table near the back of the stairs, an older man sat, sipping at a mug and watching her. Xena set her saddlebags down on the wood floor and straightened, cocking her head and regarding him.
Got a room?
The man, dressed in a worn tunic and leather breeches, regarded her with solid seriousness.
Got coin?
Xena held up a small bag and shook it, producing a muted jingle.
One?
The man asked. Xena held up two fingers.
Bet you smile.
No problem, she almost smiled. Stabling and feeding for 2 horses, too.
4 dinars. In advance.
The man held a hand out.
You break anything, you pay double.
Being treated like a common traveler was interesting. Zena opened her pouch and removed 4 coins, then swept her cloak back to return it to its place on her belt. That exposed her armor and weapons, and she was quick enough to see the sharp reaction on the innkeeper's face before he turned and handed him the money. No problem. We're just looking for a dry place to sleep. The man fingered the coins, watching her wearily. Then he glanced at his hand, examining the dinars in the dim light, bending close to see the stamp on the reverse. His eyes lifted, regarding her with a touch more respect. Amphipolis.
Eh? Been there lately?
Just come from there. I lived there, Zena told him. Got a problem with that?
Nope.
The man pocketed the coins with a good deal more cheerfulness.
Sure beats the highbrow scum we got through here the other day from Athens. Didn't bother to even pay.
He pointed to the stairs.
Last one, on the top. Dinner's up till a candle mark after dark, and included. After that, you pay separate.
Zena nodded. Thanks. She lifted the bags and glanced towards the rear of the room. Door out to the stables? He pointed. Zena edged down the hallway, passing one of the servers as she did so. The woman gave her a tired smile, then continued on towards the main room as Zena found the back door and eased back out into the rain, almost colliding with Gabrielle, who was coming in the other direction. Hey.
Hey.
The bard looked exhausted.
They actually had nice stable boys, and I felt safe leaving the kids with them.
She slung her own saddlebag over her shoulder.
Please tell me you've got a room.
We've got a room. The warrior turned and held the door open, following Gabrielle inside. And what smells like something decent for dinner.
Pass,
Gabrielle murmured as they reached the stairs and started up. She glanced down to see the innkeeper watching her with curious interest, and dredged up a smile for him, which he returned.
God, see, I haven't felt like this in years.
She felt a comforting hand rest on her shoulder.
I think I'm going to throw up.
Let's get upstairs, the warrior replied in a low voice. I've got something that might help, but it'll knock you out.
Perfect,
Gabrielle sighed.
I'll take it.
The room was small, but aseptically clean. It had 1 wooden window, not firmly closed on the far wall, and a bed that just possibly might hold both of them in the center. To one side, a small table held a basin and pitcher, and some strips of clean linen. The walls were bare, and so was the floor, but it had been swept recently and was blessedly wonderfully dry. Gabrielle exhaled in relief as she set her bag down and just stood, glad to be out of the rain at last.
Know what this reminds me of?
Zena had stripped off her cloak and hung it over a nail pounded in the wall, then walked over to remove the bards as well. That time we got caught in the spring floods in Thrace?
Ugh. Yeah.
Gabrielle snorted as she untied the laces at her throat and felt Zena lift the heavy, sodden fabric off of her. Then she trudged over to the plain chair near the wall and sat down on it, leaning her elbows on her knees as another spasm hit.
Gods!
Zena pulled out of her left bracer and let it drop on the armor pile she created. Then she walked to the table with her small bag and set it down, rooting it side in, pulling out her healer's kit. Give me a minute, she muttered, sorting through the herbs with careful fingers. Selecting 3, she put them in a small mortar she carried for this purpose, and crushed them to almost powder, then poured them into one of their traveling cups. A light sniff as she passed the water in the pitcher and rooted out a small wineskin from her bag, unstopping it and pouring a cupful over the herbs.
Uh-oh.
Gabrielle had been watching from her seat.
I can just imagine what that tastes like if you have to put that fig wine over it.
Zena smiled, unseen because her back was turned. I could just be making it pleasant for you to take, she commented. Well, which do you want, this or your stomach ache? Gabrielle pushed herself to her feet and came over.
What a choice.
She rested her cheek against Zena's shoulder.
This place hasn't changed much since the last time we came through here.
Mm-hmm. Zena finished mixing her concoction and handed it over. Bottoms up, my friend. She pushed Gabrielle's very disheveled hair back from her eyes, frowning a little at the visible shadows under them and the pallor under her normally healthy tan. She laid her palm against Bard's forehead and grimaced as she confirmed her suspicions. Little more than cycling, love. Gabrielle quietly sipped the tisane, ignoring the bitter
undertaste of the herbs in the sweet, rich liquid.
Fever?
Yeah, Xena agreed. Maybe you picked up a bug or something along with it.
Maybe.
Gabriel drained her cup and then handed it over.
How soon will this stuff...
Her knees buckled and she slumped into Xena's waiting arms, as a wave of lethargy swamped her.
Bleh.
On an empty stomach? Xena lifted her arms and carried her over to the bed, laying her down and taking a seat next to her as she removed the barge stamp cloning. Oh, I say not long.
You could have warned me.
Gabrielle mumbled, her eyes closed.
Wow.
Xena chuckled.
Feel better?
She finished undressing the compliant woman and moved down to strip off her boots.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining?
Nuh-uh.
Xena rose and retrieved one of the thick sleeping furs they'd carried and shook it out, having kept it dry inside the larger of their saddlebags. She settled its folds over the slim figure on the bed and sat down again, brushing her fingers across the barge's cheek. Miss Green eyes fluttered open and regarded her sleepily, but with a look of quiet gratitude.
Thanks.
Get some rest, Xena told her. I'll grab some dinner, maybe a few more like it when you wake up. She watched Gabrielle nod, then roll onto her side as her eyes closed again. She pulled the furs up over the barge shoulder and tucked the end in, then spent a few moments simply sitting beside her as Gabrielle fell asleep. Then she got up and wandered over to the window, opening the wooden panel and peering out as she started to unfasten the shoulder straps on her leathers, preparing to change them for a dry set. Outside, the rain continued, but she could see through its mist a party of 5 or 6 men in front of the inn, talking to her friend, the innkeeper. They were armed and boisterous. One reached out and gave the innkeeper a shove as he watched. Xena's fingers stopped moving, and she grinned as she leapt lightly onto the windowsill and stepped off into the storm.
I told you, there's no rooms,
the innkeeper repeated, brushing the rough hands off his arms.
Go on down the blacksmith. Maybe he's got some space he can rent you.
Like Hades,
the leader of the men shot back, grabbing him by the front of his shirt.
I don't give a crap where you get him, but we're gonna take 2 of the rooms and get out of this damn rain or you'll know what's what.
Hey!
The innkeeper struggled, but now 2 more of the men grabbed him, kicking and slapping at his chest.
Hey! Help!
Shut up, you pig.
The leader lifted his hand and aimed a slap at him, swinging his arm in a short, vicious arc towards the man's head. He got halfway there, then abruptly stopped his motion as his arm was grabbed by a powerful hand.
What the?
Not nice,
a low voice told him. He turned his head to see a tall, dark-haired woman standing in the rain at his side, dressed in dark leather and little else.
The man said, there's no room at the inn, so beat it.
The ruffian ripped his arm loose, or tried to, surprised when the iron grip didn't budge an inch.
Let me go, you bitch,
he growled.
Or I'll knife your guts.
He held up his other hand, curled around a thick knife hilt. Xena grinned at him, tossing her head to take the dark hair out of her eyes.
You can try, pig breath.
So he did, swiveling towards her and jabbing swiftly at her kidneys, only to find himself lifted fair off his feet by a knee that caught him between his legs. A high-pitched curse squeaked from his throat, and the rest of the brigands shook off their paralysis and attacked, leaping on the 2 combatants with wild yells. Xena dodged the first of them, and ducked under a swinging pike as she dug her boots into the mud, and took hold of a third, using her body weight to swing him around her and take out the 4th. The rain helped, of course. They were bigger and clumsier than she was, and Xena wasn't even weighted down by supplies or weapons. She was all quicksilver motion and laughter, evading their grasp and using kicks and punches to disarm them.
Bitch!
One of them grabbed her letters.
Ah-ah!
Xena slammed her elbow backwards and nailed him in the jaw.
Hands off the merchandise, boys!
She laughed as she grabbed hold of the man closest to her and lifted him, hurling him across a barter and dumping him into the overflowing water trough next to him.
You're out of your league!
The slither of steel being drawn. Xena's instincts warned her even as a sound touched her ears and she ducked, sending the movement of the blade over her head with frightening speed. She turned and latched out with a booted foot, the kick impacting against a heavy body and moving backwards, accompanied by a cough. She wiped the back of her hand across her eyes to clear the rain from them, and straightened just in time to meet the man's next swipe.
Xena brought her hands up and half-curled her hands into fists, dodging the clumsy sword blow and knocking it aside. She watched the man's motions, then jabbed quickly in with her left hand, snapping his head back as her fist impacted with his jaw. He stumbled backwards. She twirled, sensing the motion behind her, sweeping her leg around, and nailing the brigand leader in the throat and cutting off his wild yell mid-sound. He dropped, his hands scrabbling at his crushed windpipe. Two of the men lurched to their feet and stumbled away from her. A third lay in the mud, slowly getting covered with rivulets of water. The last one standing stared at her as she straightened, letting the rain course down her body.
"Beat it," Xena repeated, "or you'll be eating that sword for lunch."
The man slowly backed off, then turned and ran, leaving his two injured comrades without a backwards glance. Xena watched him go, then idly rolled over one of the victims, who appeared only stunned. She left him and went to the brigand leader, crouching down and listening to his tortured breathing. After a moment, wet footsteps approached and the innkeeper crouched down next to her, resting his elbows on his knees.
"He worth fixing?"
Xena considered the point. "Maybe."
The innkeeper nodded.
"Eldon, go get the healer."
He ordered a young stable boy nearby, then stood. Xena stood as well. Their eyes met. The innkeeper smiled and held out a hand.
"You can only be Xena."
The warrior took his hand and returned a grip.
"Think so, eh?"
But she smiled.
"Oh, yes."
The man laughed.
"I thought you were, when you got the room from me, and I saw the little one with you. But now, yes, I'm sure of it."
He exhaled.
"My name is Jesserel, and my brother fought with you against Andreas, Xena. By his description alone, I should have known you."
The warrior released his hand and ran her fingers through her rain-drenched hair, shaking her head to clear its long length from her eyes. "Had much trouble of this kind?" She indicated the figures in the mud, her body tingling from the after-effects of the fight. It wasn't often anymore she got to scrap like this, and a very feral part of her had thoroughly enjoyed it.
"A little."
The innkeeper lifted a hand as the healer arrived.
"Jerry, see what you can do with this one. Seems he didn't want to take no for an answer."
The healer glanced at Xena's tall form, then knelt next to the brigand leader, examining him in silence.
"Had enough of the weather, Xena?"
the innkeeper asked.
"Got some new ailin', and you're welcome to it, on the house."
Xena noted the reaction of the healer, who looked up at her for a long moment before he went back to his work. She flexed her hands a little, then nodded. "Sure," she gestured. "I was about to come down and collect our dinner. My partner's a little under the, Xena chuckled as the rain came down harder, drenching them. She held her hands out a little, cupping her palms. "Weather." Jesserel chuckled and led the way through the front door of the inn, holding it open for Xena to follow him.
"Not many of that kind around here,"
the innkeeper told her as he walked Xena into the main room.
"Not since the war, at any rate. Once in a while, sure, but mostly they steer clear of these parts."
"We've seen the same," Xena agreed, glancing around the room at the other patrons. She was attracting attention now, eyes watching her curiously, and in some cases, with mildly flattering lechery. "It's been quiet." The innkeeper agreed, leaning on the bar next to her and indicating his barman to pour them both mugs of ale.
"That's why we didn't take to those Athenians coming around. Said they were headed up your way, left the tax bill behind. Bastards."
Xena sipped from her mug. "We're headed to Athens to negotiate that," she told him. "They're asking for a lot."
"Too much,"
Jesserel nodded.
"Asking for 10% of the harvest. And worse, our boys for their darn army. What need if we if their army?"
He slapped the bar top.
"Did we see an arrow tip of theirs while Andreas rampaged? Not a damn one of them gave a brass dinar for us. Him we had to take care of ourselves. They's the one who owe us, if you ask me."
Xena nodded slowly.
"And thinking they're better than us,"
the man went on.
"Stuck-up little bastards. Said we weren't no more than a backwoods pig farmers with no class and less worth. Laughed at us, they did. Said we didn't know more of a culture than a brass hog."
The warrior grunted.
"Told them about Amphipolis, we did. About the new market there and the new theater. They just laughed at us and called us bumpkins."
One dark eyebrow lifted.
"Said we never get more than illiterate tale-tellers there."
Xena's other eyebrow lifted. "We've already got better than that," she remarked.
But yeah, I didn't like their attitude either. Her lips twitched. That's why we're going out there. See what we can do about changing it. The innkeeper chuckled softly.
If anyone, it'll be you, Xena.
He cleared his throat a little.
Speaking of culture, I don't suppose...
Not tonight. Xena correctly interpreted the request. If we're still around tomorrow, though. Xena made her way up to the stairs a short while later, laden down with a pot of decently succulent lamb shanks, nestled in noodles, a thick loaf of wheat bread, and a pot of goat's cheese to spread on it, and a flagon of cold ale that smelled almost as good as her mother's. She was still drenched, but the fight had jacked up her spirits, and she almost whistled as she ambled along the hallway and nudged open the door to their open room. Once inside, she set the food and drink down, then walked over to the bed to study its occupant. Gabrielle apparently hadn't even heard a bit of the fight, her face completely relaxed in sleep. Xena felt a rueful smile tug at her lips, knowing her soulmate would be grumpy at missing the action, but glad she was getting the rest she needed to. She knelt and laid a hand over the bard's forehead, and the still figure stirred at her touch, not quite waking up, but aware at some level of Xena's presence. "Shh," the warrior murmured softly. "It's okay, sweetheart. I'm here. You're okay." Gabrielle mumbled something in her sleep, but reached out instinctively and found Xena's arm, curling her fingers around it and pulling it closer to her.
"Need you,"
the whisper emerged, almost subvocally. Xena reached over and smoothed the pale hair back. "Yeah, I need you too, honey," she whispered back. "Just hold on for a few minutes. I'll come back up and keep you company, okay? Let me get this wet stuff off." The grip on her arm tightened.
"See."
With a sigh, the warrior sat down and started removing her boots with her free hand, tugging the laces out and yanking the solid leather off her feet, followed by the socks she wore under them. Then she got back up on her knees and unfastened the leathers, still without removing her arm from Bard's grip. It wasn't easy, but then, sometimes life just wasn't. She got her leathers off her head, then paused, regarding her damp skin ruefully. "Sweetheart, I love you, but you're not going to love me if I get under those covers like this," she told her partner, regretfully easing her arm free of the bard's grip. "Let me dry off, okay?" Xena got up and walked over to the bags, removing a piece of linen and running it over her body briskly, not seeing the sleepy green orbs watching her from under half-open lids, or the faint, mischievous grin tugging at Gabrielle's lips. The fireplace held a stack of firewood, and she knelt beside it, using her flint and striker to get a small fire going, setting the pot of lamb above it to keep it warm. Then she sat on her things neatly and turned, stopping short when she found herself face to face with a drowsy, if smirking, bard. "Hey."
"Hey,"
Gabrielle replied in a husky tone.
"That stuff you gave me is great. Makes me dream of naked warrior princesses. Awesome."
Xena put her hand on her hips and smirked. "How long have you been awake?" White teeth flashed as Gabrielle smiled.
"Long enough to really enjoy the view. You've got a very cute butt, you know that?"
"Think so, huh?"
Xena chuckled and walked over, gazing down at the bard with complete lack of self-consciousness. "How do you feel?" A faint shrug.
"Like I've been run over by a supply wagon,"
Gabrielle admitted softly.
"My whole body aches."
The warrior knelt and felt her head again. "Yeah, you're warm," she sighed. "My stupidity for keeping us out there in this blasted weather." Xena watched the bard's eyes blink closed. "Hungry?" Gabrielle shook her head. "Not even for lamb?" Xena persisted gently. "Come on, Gab. You haven't eaten since yesterday." Another head shake.
"I'll just chuck it back up," Gabrielle said. "Water would be okay, though."
Xena got up and went to their gear, retrieving the water skin she always kept with it. She unstopped it and sniffed at the contents, and nodded and returned to the bed, sitting down on it and curling a hand around Gabrielle's neck as she helped her sit up a little. "Here." She supported the bard while she sucked on the water, listening to the soft gulping noises as Gabrielle swallowed. "Good girl." Gabrielle smiled a little and put her head back.
"Am I?"
"Absolutely," Xena assured her. "In a little while, I've got something else I can give you for fever, right?"
"Know what I think?"
Gabrielle ran her fingers over the strong hands still resting on her shoulders.
I think I'd feel much better if you just get under the covers with me.
Is that a hint?
No, it's a royal decree.
Xena chuckled softly. All right, Your Majesty. Move over. She helped the bard slide over the small bed and slid under the furs with her, carefully slipping her arms around Gabrielle's warm body. How's that? Gabrielle repressed a shiver and huddled closer, craving the body heat and the skin-on-skin contact. She felt lousy, and while she appreciated the herbs and the dry blankets, that all paled in comparison to Xena's presence.
Did you find out anything downstairs?
She murmured into the warrior's ears. Athenians suck, Xena replied.
We already knew that.
Uh-huh. We're not the only ones, Xena murmured. They're not making friends in these parts.
Guess we'll have to go kick their butts,
Gabrielle sighed.
Jerks.
Xena felt the bard's body relax against her, and she resigned herself to a long afternoon of napping, deciding to use the time to consider their options, and maybe plan their route. She regarded the pale head tucked under her shoulders, wondering how the bard's illness might complicate things. Maybe it was just short fever. Gabrielle hadn't been coughing, and Xena listened carefully to the light breathing. Nope, her lungs sounded clear, so maybe they'd just get lucky this time.
See?
Did
you say lamb?
Xena grinned. Yeah, they'd get lucky this time. Lightning lit up the town outside the window, but its harsh silver flare didn't penetrate far into the warm candle and firelight inside. Gabrielle was curled up in bed, the furs tucked around her body but awake, one hand twirling a quill while she studied a page in her diary. On the small table nearby, a gently steaming mug rested, and after a moment, she put the quill down and picked the mug up, sipping its contents carefully. Feeling better? Xena asked from her spot near the fire. She was cleaning her armor, wiping each piece meticulously with a linen cloth. Want more of that stuff for you got? Gabrielle pondered that, still feeling a dull ache, a nagging cramping that was crawling up one of her last few nerves and preventing her from fully concentrating on her writings.
I do, and I don't, she told her partner. I'd like these damn cramps to stop, but I don't want to pass out again.
The bard sipped from a cup.
I'll stick with raspberry tea for now, thanks.
Xena nodded. Okay. She was dressed in a simple shift, her leathers out to dry in the fire's cast-off heat.
At least my fever's gone, Gabrielle said. Not sure what that was about.
They both looked up as a knock sounded on the door. Xena rose and set her armor down, then crossed to the wooden floor and pulled the latch back, standing back as she pulled the door open. A middle-aged man stood there, his cap in his hands, looking quite intimidated. Yeah? The warrior asked, glowering at him. Gabrielle rolled her eyes and scratched the back of her ear with a quill.
Never changes,
she muttered to herself.
Pardon, but I was looking for, Xena?
The man said timorously. Yeah? Xena repeated, putting one hand on her hip. What do you want?
Are you Xena?
Xena just looked at him.
Okay, right.
The man stepped inside, obviously not sure where he would be looking, his choices being the disheveled and obviously bare-shouldered bard in bed, or the gorgeous but wild-looking woman in her underwear.
I've, come to ask a favor.
Yeah? Xena walked over and poured herself a mug of ale, swirling it around before taking a sip. What kind of favor? She leaned against the wall, watching him with hooded eyes. Gabrielle exhaled.
Xena, sit down.
She scolded her soulmate, then turned her attention to their visitor.
Hi, what's your name?
Gratefully, the man faced the bed.
Orestes.
He watched Gabrielle exchange startled looks with Xena.
No, not that one. My mother had a very strange sense of humor.
Ah, the bard smiled. Okay, Orestes. My name is Gabrielle. What can we do for you?
His reaction was very surprising.
You're Gabrielle?
He asked, focusing fascinated eyes on her.
You're the one I'm looking for, then.
He glanced back at Xena.
They said you know where I could find her.
One dark brow lifted. They were right, Xena commented, mildly intrigued. Pretty easy guess, though, since we're married to each other. Orestes blinked at her, then looked at Gabrielle, then scratched his head.
Well?
He turned back to the bard.
I need your help.
Gabrielle folded her hands over the open pages of diaries and gazed at him.
Okay, if I can, sure. What's the problem?
She caught sight of Xena leaning forward to listen in peripheral vision.
It's this,
Orestes said.
They said you're heading to Athens. Is that true?
Yes,
the bard agreed.
My cousin lives there. Lived there. We don't know. We can't find him.
Gabrielle blinked.
Okay. I'm really sorry to hear that. But what makes you think I can find him? Athens is a pretty big place.
He knows you,
Orestes said.
He talks about you all the time. How you guys met and all that. And no one else cares about where he is.
Uh-huh, the bard said encouragingly. And his name is?
Homer.
Gabrielle felt a sense of shock at the name, and she blinked back a flash of memories from that scene like several lifetimes ago.
Homer. Wow. I haven't heard that name in a long time,
she murmured.
Yes, I do know him, but you said he disappeared?
Orestes fidgeted, then nodded.
He was supposed to have a reading of his new play. We went to go see it, but when we got there, someone else was being read, and no one knew where Homer was. We're really scared for him, but they don't care.
He glanced down, a little embarrassed.
They just think we're a bunch of bumpkins.
Gabrielle nodded a little.
I remember Homer very well. He was a friend when he didn't have to be for me, she said. Of course we'll try to find him.
She stole a glance at Xena, but the warrior was merely polishing an arm a bit, her expression quietly interested.
No one remembers the last time they saw him?
Orestes shook his head sadly.
All right. Just leave it to us,
the bard told him.
When we get to Athens, we'll find him, or at least find out where he went. Okay?
Orestes looked at her with utter gratitude.
Thank you.
He exhaled heavily.
Homer was right. He said you were the kind of person who would help people if you could.
Gabrielle gave him a brief smile.
I think he and I will have some interesting stories to trade when we find him, she allowed. And we will.
Thanks.
The man smiled back at her, then glanced behind him, before he backed towards the door, leaving Xena a nervous nod, before he ducked out and closed the door. Warrior and bard regaled each other quietly.
Well,
Gabrielle finally exhaled.
That was unexpected.
Xena walked over and sat down on the edge of the bed, her arm a bit still in her hands.
Yeah, she agreed softly. Guess we'll have to find him. Gotta meet this guy who was so nice to you. She looked up and gave the bard a warm smile. Must have been exciting, that whole thing, huh?
Gabrielle let her memories wander back to the last time she'd seen Homer, back to the days of a much younger iteration of herself.
Yeah,
she murmured.
Being accepted to the Academy, that was special. I never thought in a million years I'd...
She paused and shook her head.
It was everything I dreamed of.
The warrior sturdied her hands.
And yet, once it happened, I realized my dreams had changed.
Gabrielle put her head down on the furs, gazing at the candle by her bedside.
It was so hard for Homer to understand that.
Xena set the armor down and shifting, facing a partner. It was hard for me to understand that. So I'm not surprised, she said. I thought you'd stay. The miscreant eyes studied the candle, then lifted to search Xena's.
I know you did,
she replied.
I tried to convince myself you wanted me to stay. But there was something.
Her lips twitched and she reached over to cover Xena's hand with her own.
You know, that was the first time I think I realized you didn't hate my guts.
Xena spared a moment for that night when she left Gabrielle to what she thought was her future. Remembering the unexpected, and to her, outrageous pain in her gut, and leaving a new little friend behind. She remembered sitting on a rock just outside Athens, just listening to the silence, angry with herself because she slipped, and let herself care a little about this kid. Angry because she realized she missed her, and might go on missing her.
See?
Xena dismissed the memories and focused on the present.
We have to find him.
Gabrielle rolled over onto her back.
Because I have to introduce the two of you. I think he always thought I was making you up.
Xena glanced down the length of her body and spread her arms out. You've got a good imagination, sweetheart, but that's stretching it, don't you think?
Gabrielle just chuckled and rolled on to her backside, curling her body up a little.
Athens is a big place, Xena went on a little more seriously. What if he doesn't want to be found? Maybe he's got cold feet. He took off before his stuff was going to be shown.
She casually reached over and rubbed the bard's back, finding a knot at the base of her spine and working at it with strong fingers. Homer?
Gabrielle closed her eyes, blissfully in relief, as a massage eased her cramping.
No way. If there was attention, he wanted it.
She opened one eye.
I mean that in the nicest way, but still, he never had passed up a reading of his work.
Xena considered that. So we've got a mystery to solve along with some bureaucrats to tame. Gonna be an interesting trip.
Gabrielle agreed. Probably make for some great stories.
The warrior grinned silently. The sun, creeping across the firs hitting her in the face, awoke Gabrielle in the next morning. She opened one resentful sea-green eye and peered at the window, then calculated the time and rotated the eyeball up in surprise to study the solemn body still curled up against hers in bed. It was late, really late. Even after all this time, getting Xena to sleep in was always a struggle for her. The warrior woke like clockwork before dawn and was very restless, light sleeper. Gabrielle had given up trying to coax her into staying in bed later than sunrise, and she just reconciled herself to meeting the warrior for breakfast after Xena had gotten her morning run or her drills out of her system. So, seeing her partner sound asleep here, in a strange inn, long after dawn, shocked her. Anxiously, she studied Xena's face, searching for signs of illness. No, the tan skin seemed to have its normal healthy tint, and the warrior seemed to be sleeping comfortably, her body relaxed under the light fur. No signs of sickness, no rest to her breathing. Gabrielle gently felt the skin of the arm curled around her. No hint of fever. She felt a lot better herself, for that matter. The cramps were gone and her head felt clear. The fever she'd been shivering was gone, too. Gabrielle put her head down and thought about something Alani had told her way back when. Years ago, when she and Xena had first visited the forest dwellers, and Xena had been trapped under Rockslide, almost ending her life, the forest dwellers had encouraged Gabrielle to sleep with her injured soulmate, imitating somehow that it would help Xena to heal. Had it? Morning. Xena's voice interrupted her thoughts.
Hey, sleepyhead,
Gabrielle murmured, rubbing her hand over the warrior's belly.
Kinda late.
Xena agreed, taking a snuggler hold around Gabrielle's body. Got a problem with that?
No,
Gabrielle replied.
It's just not like you when we're on the road.
She paused.
Or at home, for that matter.
She felt Xena exhale.
Not that I mind.
I was tired, Xena answered. It's nice to be out here on your own, doing what we want, when we want. I decided staying in bed was a good idea. Gabrielle glanced up.
Okay, honey, she replied mildly. I'm not complaining. I feel a lot better for it, and you know how I love sleeping late.
But she thought about Xena's remark, and wondered, just a little. The warrior grunted contentedly. The bard smiled to herself, then frowned as she spotted a bruise on Xena's chest, just in the center of her breastbone.
Hey, sweetie. Where'd you get this?
Gabrielle traced the bruise, which looked very fresh.
I wasn't fevered enough to hit you last night, was I?
The surface under her fingers moved as Xena took a breath, then released it, and she was momentarily distracted by the interesting pattern of sunlight that burnished her partner's skin, the soft, fine hairs on it. Xena mumbled. Just some guys making trouble last night. Had to kick their butts. The bard's brow creased.
When was this? I don't remember that happening.
You were sleeping.
They were in here?
Outside.
I thought you went downstairs to get dinner.
Took a detour. Gabrielle peered over Xena's side.
Through the window?
She glanced up to see the warrior nod sleepily. The bard eyed the bruise, then did a quick visual check for some more, sliding her hand up across her body's neck and running her fingers lightly through the dark hair as she felt for telltale lumps or bumps. Xena's lips quirked. I should find scum to bash more often if it gets me this kind of attention. Gabriel paused and just looked at her, stung a little by the comment. Was Zena saying she didn't pay attention to her? That wasn't true, was it? She paid attention to her all the time. Didn't she? Her brows knit. Of course. It wasn't like they'd done anything lately at home for her to have to worry about that kind of thing, but... Slowly, Gabrielle tilted her head back and studied Zena's face.
Hey, wasn't that great, Zena?
Gabriella had skipped alongside her dial companion.
Did you see those guys' faces? They were so glad to see you. Wasn't that great?
Zena had glanced at her, consternation and bewilderment clear in her face.
What are you talking about? We just moved the damn wagon, Gabrielle. Well, sure, but we didn't have to, right?
Gabrielle had argued.
We could have just kept walking, or gone the other way, or even just sat there and laughed at them. But you never do that, right?
Blue Eyes had studied her with evident pity.
Sure I would have.
No way.
Gabrielle had shaken her head positively.
You do good stuff now, and everyone knows it. Did you hear them thank you?
A shout behind them had brought them up short. Zena put her hand on her sword and turned, by instinct putting her body between Gabrielle and whatever was coming towards them. But it had just been the wagoneer, jogging up and panting, a packet in his hands.
Hey, we just wanted to say thanks. You saved our load, and that's all we had this season. Here.
He'd shoved the packet into Zena's hands before she could protest and backed off, then turned and left.
See?
Gabrielle had grinned in triumph.
Doesn't that feel great?
Zena stared at the packet, then at the retreating man. Then her eyes had turned to her young companion, reflecting a look of surprised resolution.
Yeah.
A faint smile crossed the warrior's face. You know, it does. Gabrielle pressed her cheek against Zena's shoulder, listening to the powerful heartbeat, and thinking about the facets that made up their very complex partner.
Glad you found some trouble to get into. Save some for me next time, okay?
She commented lightly.
You snooze, you lose.
Zena chuckled, giving her a friendly scratch on the back. Wasn't that much?
Just some losers pushing the innkeeper around. Just knocked him around a little.
The bard nodded to herself and traced light circles with fingertips, listening to the heartbeat under her ears slow as she did so.
Thought you said it was late, Zena murmured.
Nah, not that late.
Gabrielle eyed the window.
Just after dawn. It's just late for you.
It's early for everyone else but the chickens. She felt the light line of a scar under her touch and cast her mind back, trying to remember its source. A moment, then a smile appeared. Ah, yes, I remember that. She'd sewn it up, as a matter of fact. Nice, neat, tiny stitches in an old barn somewhere down south.
At least the weather cleared up.
Zena made a small noise of assessment, then sighed.
Guess we'd better get going, then.
Guess we'd better.
Gabrielle agreed, continuing her gentle patterns.
You know something, Tiger?
Her fingertip tickled her ear.
What?
We're out here. We're on the long road to Athens. Maybe it'd be nice if we sort of helped some people out of the way, like we used to.
Gabrielle tilted her head back a little.
What do you think?
A tiny, charmed smile appeared on Zena's face.
Now that's an interesting idea.
Yeah?
Gabrielle grinned back.
I thought so. Just sort of get back to basics, that kind of thing.
She paused, watching the sparkle grow in her partner's eyes.
Maybe even get into some trouble.
One brow elevated. With you? That's awful.
Gabrielle scolded her.
Don't you start that, miss. I never caused trouble, warrior princess.
Zena eased up on the elbow and stretched her body out, uncoiling herself from Gabrielle's embrace, then curling up around her again. She wrapped her arms around the bard's shoulders and rolled over, pulling Gabrielle with her as the bard started giggling.
Grrr.
Gabrielle was delighted with the playfulness. She tickled the skin within her reach, and she was rocked back and forth in a tangle of arms and legs and bare skin, sliding over her bare skin.
Ooh, I'm gonna get you.
You wish.
Zena trapped her arms and legs, holding her wriggling body still.
Hey, Gab.
The bard rested her chin on her partner's collarbone and gently licked her pulse point.
Yum.
Thanks. Gabrielle crawled forward and looked down at her.
For what?
Zena smiled. Just thanks.
Their eyes searched each other.
You're not going to tell me what I did?
Gabrielle asked, lightly.
I'd like to do it again.
Another smile.
Gabrielle sighed. Okay, come on. Let's go find some breakfast. I'm starving.
Zena chuckled. Now that sounds like old times. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 38 of XNU and chapter 2 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Hope everyone's enjoying the storyline. I do apologize when I was editing the story that I heard the sound in the back when you listen to the storyline. And what you hear in the background, that noise, that's not feedback or anything. Those are cicadas. In the heat, they go through a wave and they make the sound. And if most of you are out in near open territory or open bushland or forest or whatever, you have cicadas in the summer when they make their wave sound. And so they just decided at the time that I was doing this to go ahead and make that noise. Plus, on top of that, every so often you'll hear some, in the beginning part of it, you might have heard some background noise, and that was helicopters as well. So this was an episode that was quite fun to have to do between the helicopters and the cicadas. So I was like, it was a conspiracy not to get this out, but I managed. Anyway, so that concludes this story. If anybody would like anything to be dedicated in the next episode, send me an email with the name and either the song dedication or an announcement that you would like with the details, and I'll try and get it on the show. If you do have any suggestions on a song or a movie or a book that you would like to recommend for review or just to recommend for reading, send me an email at zena.uber@gmail.com, and I'll try and get in on the show as well. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love.